Thank you so much to the team for leading us so well this morning. Just to let you know, if you would like to take up the opportunity every single Monday night in this church, we dim the lights from 6:30 to 7:30. It's just an hour of uninterrupted praise and worship. So just something to keep in mind on a Monday night, every single Monday night. You can come for 10 minutes, come for an hour, whatever works best for you. Well, William Cousins spoke to me a while earlier, and he said that yesterday you had a fantastic Agape meeting, a really top-class Agape meeting, so well done to the Agape team. But added to that, there's also a table in the hall full of all kinds of goodies which you can purchase. And I had a browse around there. They're 5 rand, they're 10 rand, they're very cheap. And so everything you purchase goes towards our missions fund. So number one, you're getting something for yourself. And number two, all the money that's raised goes towards a great cause. So while you're enjoying a cup of tea, a cup of coffee after the service, browse around, and you may even find a good, cheap Christmas gift for somebody else. You never know. And then, as I mentioned, the Africa for Christ breakfast, the baptism, all those sign-up sheets I may have forgotten to mention are at the back there. So you can sign up after the service for those events. All right, we'll be continuing with our Faith Works series in the book of James this morning. So if you got your Bibles, 3. And just to refresh your memories, maybe you've forgotten, what's the main point that James makes throughout his book? Can you remember? There must be a connection between the faith we profess with our lips and the way we live our everyday lives. That's James's argument from verse 1 to the end. That connection that must exist between faith in God and a life lived on the earth. And so today we pick up with the whole topic of wisdom. And James says there's false wisdom and there's true wisdom. So let's have a look at what he says in James chapter 3. And just 5 verses actually, verse 13 to verse 18. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life and by the deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. So right up front, James makes his point again. If you claim to be wise, if you claim to have God's wisdom, then prove it, show it by the way you live your life. And as we've said multiple times over the years from this platform, there's a massive difference, don't forget, between intelligence, information, and wisdom. I know many people that are very well read, very well educated, multiple degrees behind their names, and yet over and over again they're making foolish decisions. So never ever confuse intelligence with wisdom. In fact, we're the generation that's got the most access to resources, unlike any generation in previous years. We've got Google. We've got the internet. We've got satellite television. We know so much about so many things, and yet so many people are making an absolute mess of their lives because intelligence is different to wisdom. James will show us why as we go on. So let's pick it up again in verse 14. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom, and he puts wisdom there in inverted commas, such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. Father, thank you for this incredibly powerful word of yours. Lord, every time we open it, there's so much to learn and so much to enjoy. And I pray, Father, as we just spend these next few moments considering these 5 verses, Holy Spirit, help us to see things we've never seen before. Give us the humility to understand how this word applies to our lives. And then give us the courage to make the changes we need to make. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, let's begin by looking at false wisdom. Bearing in mind, James argues there's false wisdom, and then he says also there's true wisdom. So let's begin with false wisdom. With James says in verse 14, he's characterized by two specific things, and you probably noticed them as I read the verses to you. He says false wisdom is characterized, number one, by envy and by selfish ambition, or the New King James Version would say self-seeking. In other words, false wisdom puts me at the center of everything. So everything and everyone, even God, ultimately exists for my benefit, to make me happy, to make me comfortable, to make me successful. And friends, I would suggest to you, if you're a married person here today, that if you follow that recipe of putting you in the center of your marriage, you're heading for a disaster. You're living according to a design God never intended for you to live by. And that disaster happens very quickly. As long as I get my way, as long as I'm happy, as long as things are going my way in the home, I'm happy. But the moment I'm inconvenienced, I get upset. James says that's self-seeking, and it's a sure sign you're walking not in true wisdom, but in false wisdom. And so I guess a great question would be is, how can I spot, how can I identify the signs of false wisdom in my life? What are the clues, what are the warning signs that I should be taking note of? Well, it's very clear. James tells us in verse 50, number one, that false wisdom is characterized by an unspiritual mindset or an unearthly mindset. He says, such wisdom, talking about false wisdom, does not come down from heaven, but is earthly and unspiritual. So what does that mean on a practical level? What is James talking about? Well, he's saying that people who practice false wisdom actually never consider eternity. They're primarily consumed about the here and the now. And so I will challenge you on a practical level, and this requires you to be brutally honest, actually. Think about your life in the context of false wisdom. Are you living your life primarily for the dot, which means the here and the now, or are you living for the line, for eternity? On a practical level, how do you make decisions each and every day? Think about the way you spend your money. Does that reflect eternity, an eternal perspective? Or does that more than likely reflect a life that is lived for the here and the now? How do you invest your time? Is your time primarily invested in the here and the now, or are you investing time in the light of eternity? This is the mindset James is trying to convey. He says false wisdom is now, by these 70, 80, 90 years, but it pays no attention to the 10,000 years we sung about in the praise and worship. The 10 million years, the 10 billion years. The false wisdom is totally consumed by this brief earthly journey and pays no attention to the life that is to come. I did some research on the plane back from Turkey, and I read a business newspaper for interest's sake. And I discovered there's so many in South Africa, maybe many of us this morning, we spend a lifetime paying off debt. We've got credit card debt. We've got debt in all kinds of different ways. Why? Because we've overextended ourselves financially. We've got sucked into the spirit of this world. We've bought things that God never intended for us to have. And that lifestyle, James argues, is a sure warning sign, a red flag that you're operating according to false wisdom. And a parable for our generation, I'm sure, is this one in Luke chapter 12, where Jesus speaks about the rich fool. The rich fool got sucked into the trap of the here and the now, consumerism, materialism. And look what the Bible says about him. And maybe you can recognize the spirit of our age in these verses. Have a look at them. He says, I will tear down my barns, build bigger ones, consumerism, materialism, and there I'll store my surplus grain. No thought of giving it, of blessing others. I know many rich people who love Jesus and use the resources to bless the world and to help the church. Not this guy. He says, I'll store my surplus grain. And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry. Retire to Ganubi. Enjoy the good life. It doesn't say that, but I mean, just imagine in our day and age, it could be the mindset. But God said to him, you fool. Imagine being called a fool by God. You fool. This very night your life will be demanded from you. This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves, but is not rich towards God. That is a parable defining false wisdom. I'm living for the here and the now, but I don't realize, I forget that today is one step closer to me meeting Jesus face to face. You see, the wise man realizes that they will, she will stand before God, will give an account of their lives. And so I'm living today, I'm making decisions today in the light of that day. I'm not consumed about this brief earthly life. I don't want to be ashamed when I look into the eyes of Jesus. I want to say, Lord Jesus, I love my wife as Christ Jesus loved the church. Lord, I raise my children in the ways of God. Lord, I use my resources, my money, my gifts, my abilities, my talents, my time for the glory of your name. Lord, I wasn't a perfect man, but I live with an eternal perspective in mind. James says that is wisdom. False wisdom says, no, I forget about eternity. I live and I'm consumed by the here and the now. And some of us need to be brutally honest about how that plays out in our lives. But then he takes it a step further, and this is where the rubber really hits the road and it makes us feel a little bit uncomfortable. James says false wisdom is more than earthly and unspiritual. Did you see it? He says actually false wisdom is rooted where? In the demonic. It's in verse 15. Some of us don't even realize we've been sucked into the spirit of consumerism, materialism, false wisdom, and it's finding its origins, it's finding its roots in the demonic. And Satan comes and he deceives us. John 8:44. He, Satan, was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. False wisdom is fueled by demonic lies. And what those lies tell you is you, listen to this, you do what's best for you. You make yourself the center of your home, the center of your marriage. And you start living according to design that God never intended, and the result is devastation. And let me say it, we're seeing the results of that mindset all around Ganubi and all around the world. The Bible teaches exactly the opposite. Proverbs 9 verse 10 is a verse worth underlining and highlighting in your Bible. And it simply goes like this, and it's a verse full of incredible wisdom. Solomon writes, the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Wow, guys. The reality, the knowledge that I, as a finite speck of dust, am going to stand before God Almighty. And I'm going to give an account for my life and for my marriage and my family and my money. And my time, and my gifts. The wise man says, I'm going to live today in the light of that day. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That says not me first. That says God first. In every area of my life, God first. God first. God first is the wise man's mindset. Galatians 2:20. I've been crucified with Christ. No longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. That verse is freedom. You want to be free? Start living that verse. Dead to yourself, alive to Jesus. Dead to your own plans and selfish ambitions, alive to the purposes of that God. That is freedom. That is wisdom. So, let's flip the coin. That's false wisdom. What about true wisdom? What does James have to say about true wisdom? Well, I'm sure you notice it. The first thing he says is that unlike false wisdom, which comes from the earth, James says true wisdom comes from above. True wisdom comes from heaven. And as we walk in true wisdom, look at the wonderful list of things we grow in, verse 17. Now, just imagine being married to somebody like this. I mean, if you're single, this is your list that you're looking for. But the wisdom that comes from above, I mean, look at these beautiful characteristics, is pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. What a difference from false wisdom. Me, 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 my life, my money, my future. No, this is different. Purity. My mind is pure. I'm thinking good thoughts. My motives are pure in the way I relate to people. I've got no hidden agendas, no false agendas. I'm pure in my relationships with people. Peace-loving. I'm considerate. Married to a man who's considerate. Coffee in bed and, you know, nights out at Sanook and just the good life for the ladies. Considerate. Submissive. Imagine having a wife that was submissive, guys. Full of mercy and good fruit. Man, I tell you what, as you learn to walk in true wisdom, ladies and gentlemen, this is the result of that. I would love to live in a home where those things manifest. Wouldn't you? I would love to be part of a church where those things, and praise God, that's exactly what I'm seeing in this beautiful church. All of those things are manifesting, and well done to you for walking in true wisdom. So let's finish with, I guess we could call it the golden question. How do we grow? How do we grow in true wisdom? Well, just two quick thoughts to finish up with. Number one, and I really put some thought into how to articulate this. Number one, we need to grow in our understanding. You've got to listen very carefully to this one if you're dozing off. I try to apply my mind so carefully to this statement. We need to learn to grow in our understanding of the God of the Bible. And I say the God of the Bible because I'm not convinced that the church around the world is often worshiping the God of the Bible. I think we're worshiping the God of our own imaginations. I'm not sure we've actually studied the Word enough to know who God is. Look what the Bible says, 2 Timothy 3:16, 17. All Scripture is God-breathed, inspired by the Holy Spirit, useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. We don't worship the Bible, but we worship the God the Bible reveals. And friends, that's why in this church, you will notice week after week, I never stand here and share my thoughts with you. I never stand here and share my good ideas with you. What I do week after week is I open the Bible and I say, let's turn in God's Word to James chapter 1, James chapter 2, James chapter 3. We follow the Bible systematically because ultimately it doesn't matter what I say. I'm a man like you're a man. It matters what God says about Himself And the Word of God reveals to us the ways of God and who exactly God is. So the greatest investment you could ever make is not the stock exchange, but investing time in the Word of the living God. You will grow in wisdom. And flowing from that, and here's a beautiful one, you learn to rest in God's timing. Oh my goodness, we are an impatient generation. We've got more of the theology of Freddie Mercury. I want it all, and I want it now. But we need to learn to rest in God's timing. You see, when God's plan doesn't work out according to our agenda, we follow the South African mentality, a boer maak 'n plan. And we call that plan B. And friends, I'm going to preach a sermon very soon about plan Bs. And I'm going to focus that sermon on Abraham and Sarah. I mean, you know the story of Abraham and Sarah. I don't want to preempt the sermon. But God promised Abraham and Sarah a son. And what happened? The son took a long time to arrive. So what does Sarah do? She says, I'm going to make a plan B. Abraham, you're going to hook up with Hagar. I'm using hook up because that's a Ganubi sort of terminology. But you're going to hook up with Hagar. And we're going to make a plan B because God's plan A is taking a long time to materialize. They did that. Plan B came into effect. And the result continues to this very day around the world. The seed of Ishmael, devastation around the world. Because two people couldn't be patient in waiting for plan A to materialize. No. The wise person, the wise man who walks in wisdom says, God, your ways are higher than my ways. Your thoughts are higher than my thoughts. You're seeing things I can't see. And so I choose to rest in your plan. I choose to rest in your timing. That is true wisdom. And the final thought is this one. To grow in true wisdom means surrounding yourself with the right people. This is a critical one. Proverbs 11:14 says, for lack of guidance, a nation falls. We're experiencing that in our own situation. But victory is won through many advisors. Friends, I want to encourage you. If you get around other men and women who truly love Jesus, their zeal, their passion for God rubs off on you. Is that not true? Likewise, if you surround yourself with lukewarm, compromising people, that rubs off on you. You become like the people you surround yourself with. I want to encourage you. Find people that are passionate about Jesus. Find people that are on fire for Jesus, who are living God's Word, who believe God's Word. Learn from them, walk with them, and you will become. That zeal will rub off onto you and you will walk in the same way. It's a vital part of growing and developing as a Christian. So, guys, let me tell you, getting to know God and walking in wisdom is the most rewarding and incredible way to live your life. Is that not true? The people in this building, in their 70s, in the 80s, Pastor George Dennison passed away a week ago. I was devastated to miss his funeral. In his 90s, a man who lived a life of incredible wisdom. Why can't we follow in their footsteps? Younger guys, people of my generation, I challenge you, as I challenge myself, let's be men and women who follow in the footsteps of the giants of old. Why are we getting so sidetracked by stuff and consumerism? Thinking we're wise, but we're not. Let's learn to follow the ways of God. Let's hand over a baton of true wisdom to the next generation that they can walk in that wisdom as well. And you know what? It's not a burden to walk this way. It is a blessing. Psalm 16:11. You make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. That, my friends, is the result of true and godly wisdom. Amen. Amen. As we respond to God's word this morning, I want to invite those who are serving the communion to join me at the table, please. And I want us to use this time to respond to God's word. You know, guys, at the prayer meeting before the service, we sick and we pray for the country, we pray for the world, but the one thing I really prayed for, particularly this morning around the prayer time, was for those of you who've recognized, as I've preached, that you've maybe been walking in false wisdom. Maybe you've made some foolish decisions, and I want you to realize that God's grace is bigger than that. I want you to realize that God is offering you a chance today to start again. Isn't that amazing? And that's why we're having communion. This cup represents the blood of Jesus. This bread represents the body of Jesus. This is the greatest sacrifice of all time. And the blood of Jesus and the body of Jesus means there's always grace, there's forgiveness, there's a chance to start again. And so if you've been one of those this morning, you realize, man, I've actually got sucked into a spirit of materialism and consumerism. I'm living in a false way. There's no guilt and condemnation for you today. These elements reflect grace and God's forgiveness for you and an opportunity to start all over again and to lead your family along a different path. And so I want to just read some verses to you from Isaiah 53, written 600 years before Jesus Christ arrived, but incredibly powerful. He, Jesus, was oppressed and afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearers is silent, he did not open his mouth. Verse 4, surely Jesus took up our pain and bore our suffering, yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. And here comes the key verse, verse 5. But Jesus Christ was pierced for our transgressions. Jesus Christ was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was laid upon Jesus Christ. And by the wounds of Jesus Christ, we are healed. All of us, like sheep, have gone astray. We've exercised false wisdom. Each one of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on Jesus Christ the iniquity of us all. I want you, as you receive the bread and the cup, just to spend a moment before God. Close your eyes and bring your life before the Lord and say, Lord, we have exercised false wisdom. Where I've made myself the center of everything. Lord, I acknowledge that. I repent of that. And I pray, Lord, that by your grace and in your love and your mercy, you would enable me by your Spirit from this day forward to live my life and to lead my family from a position of true wisdom, which is found in Jesus Christ. You just spend some time making that your prayer before we eat and drink together. I'm sure for some of you, you're wrestling at the moment over this. Maybe you've recognized you have been sucked into the temporary. You've been living your life and spending your money and using your time primarily and not the line. You're living for the here and now, not for the day you stand before God to give an account of your life. And so, in God's grace, He's given you a chance to change that equation. And to say, Lord, help me to live today in the light of that day. Maybe you want to pray along those lines. And Lord, what are some of the areas I need to readjust in my life? What are some of the areas I need to change to reflect that truth in my life? If you're a parent, a father, a mother, a grandparent, what you model is what your children will become. Your children are looking to you for an example of true godly wisdom. And maybe as a mom or a dad or a grandparent, you want to say, Lord, help me to hand over a baton to my children, my grandchildren, of true godly wisdom, that they can carry that forth into future generations. Thank you, Father. Help us by the power of your Holy Spirit not to miss this moment. Not to let this moment pass us by, Lord. But Lord, may this be a defining moment in many of our lives. The day we cross the line from false wisdom to true wisdom. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. And so in response to that, the bread represents the broken body of the Lord Jesus Christ, broken for you. The cup represents the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Grace, forgiveness, mercy, new opportunities flow from the cross. Let's eat and drink this morning with incredibly grateful hearts. Thank you, Lord Jesus Christ. Now, dear friends, as you go your separate ways to put this morning's word into practice, to go and live it, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause His beautiful face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you. May He turn His countenance towards you. And may He fill you today and every day going forward with His wonderful and perfect peace. In Jesus' great name, amen. Amen. Folk, thank you so much for the joy of sharing that word with you. Don't forget baptism. Don't forget breakfast at the back. And goodies in the hall to buy. Thank you so much.